Lord has given me a gift. Only one. I am the most complete fighter in the world.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Last time we went through our lists of honorable mentions, and again, apologies to anybody that we forgot. Most of you very kindly were kind enough to let us know who we forgot, but nonetheless, we do apologize for anybody we forgot, but we settled on the list of top five. As a refresher, these are in no order: Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Jackie Chan, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone. We are going to take a little bit of time and spend an episode on each one, talking about why we think they are worthy of being the five greatest action stars of all time. Once again, joining me for this, it's the man behind this. It was his idea. He's the motivating factor on it. Scott Adkins. Scott, how are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about some action stars. Yeah, that aren't me. For a change. So I'm all, yeah, it was my idea. I think it's a worthy endeavor to discuss who are the best, the greatest action icons the world has ever known.
I think it is too. And I think it's important because the thing is there's a lot of people like me out there who talk about who we think the best is, but it's very, very rare to have somebody who's actually in that industry, in that genre, and with the level of success in that industry as you have to want to talk about it, because you certainly have a unique insight on some of these guys that you know we're not going to be able to. Some of them you've worked with, some of them you may not have worked with them directly, but you've certainly worked with the people that they do work with. So there's a lot of you can bring something to the table that most of us podcasters.
All the dirty little secrets that nobody knows about. I'm going to spill it all tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. Dump all that dirt. Dump all that dirt. Dish it all right out here. That's what people want. This is a gossip podcast now. This is no longer an action podcast. We're just all gossip. I think, unfortunately, our first person we're going to talk about, you might not be able to dish much dirt because it sure doesn't seem like there is a whole lot out there about him.
I can tell you this. Everyone that I've spoke to about the man has nothing but good things to say about him. I've not had anyone say anything negative about him in all these years.
And that seems to be pretty consistent, right? I mean, he does seem to just be considered to be one of the kindest, nicest, and most professional people in all of movies. We are, of course, talking about first Keanu Reeves, star of such action classics as Point Break, Speed, The Matrix, and of course, most recently, John Wick. Now, Scott, you and I settled on this top five list, so we do agree on this top five. So tell me, we'll start off just very quickly, and then we'll get into some more detail. Why do you think Keanu Reeves is worthy of being in the top five?
Well, there's a couple of people in this list that when they started out in their careers, and you know, if you'd said, oh, this guy's going to be one of the greatest ever action stars, you'd go, no. What are you talking about? Surely not. So when I first saw him in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, I guess it would have been, unless I'd seen him in Parenthood and not realized. I mean, I loved Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and even more so Bogus Journey, probably. But when you first see him in those films, there's nothing action about this guy, right? But my best mate, Chris, he was always massively into surfing. It's kind of weird because we'd grown up in Birmingham, which is landlocked in the middle of England. But he would always go down to Cornwall in the summer. He had a caravan down there and everything. And he would do his surfing. And that was something that he was really into. So I was kind of into surfing a little bit just from hanging around him. And so when the trailer for Point Break broke and it was all about surfing, you know, my mate Chris is like, oh, look at this movie. It's got Patrick Swayze in it. And it's that guy from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, this looks really good. And look, Bill or Ted has actually got biceps. This, yeah, let's go and watch it, man. And of course, Point Break, I mean, to this day, let's talk about Point Break for a second. It's one of the best action films ever made, right? I mean, it's incredible. How can you not love Point Break, Mike?
No, I agree. I actually was on another podcast where they put me in a terrible position of having to argue for Speed or Point Break, and everybody thinks I hate Point Break now, because when we get to Speed, you will see why. But I love Point Break. I do not hate it. It just so happens to be that I think Speed is a better movie, but we'll get to that. But no, Point Break is brilliant, and in the action scenes, you know what, Catherine Bigelow and the action team that she's using in that movie, what they're able to do with two very, very Hollywood actors. You know, we knew to a certain extent what Swayze was capable of if you had seen Roadhouse. But for a lot of people, he was still the guy from Dirty Dancing, too. You know, so like...
Not to me.
Not to me, but...
I was all about the Roadhouse. I remember seeing him throwing a back kick or whatever in the Point Break trailer, thinking, oh, yeah, come on, bring me some of that. Come on, Swayze, let's go.
It blows my mind that he did Dirty Dancing and Roadhouse back to back. Like, that just is mind blowing to me that he was able to shift gears that completely.
We love the Swayze in my household because, you know, Point Break, Roadhouse for me, that's what it's all about. And then you've got my wife who, you know, Dirty Dancing is the best film ever made. So we love a bit of the Swayze in our house.
We're very much the same. My wife and I, Dirty Dancing's one of our favorite movies of all time. Roadhouse is one of mine. And just in general, well, we're getting off track, but it's hard not to when you're talking about Patrick Swayze, right? Like,
you've got to talk about Swayze when we're talking about Point Break, because it's a huge part of the reason why it's so brilliant. But yes, there's these amazing action set pieces in Point Break. I mean, there's a few of them. That that skydiving section is brilliant. And Swayze, again, you know, he's doing it for real, which really adds to it. But the foot chase with Reeves, and I know it's probably Swayze's double for probably all of it, because he's got the mask on, so why not? But that is probably the best foot chase ever. I mean, probably I haven't thought about it, but it's one of the best foot chases ever. The way it's shot, that wide angle, low angle lens, smashing through, jumping over gardens. I did a bit of hedge hopping after watching that film, I tell you.
Yeah,
just because I wanted to be like Reeves.
We all did. And I pretty much ended up like Reeves, which means I caved my knee in and laid on the ground and yelled a lot. I didn't have guns to fire up in the air, though. But what I love about it, what I love about Bigelow in all of her movies is she's so good at doing handheld camera work and that kind of stuff without it getting nauseating, with still being able to understand the concept of keeping the center of the frame in focus at all times, so that you're getting the feeling of speed as they're running through this, but you're not, you know, losing any of the geography of the scene. You have a clean sense throughout that entire foot chase of every fence they're jumping over, house they're running through, you know, door they're smashing through. It's all clear in your mind as the viewer. And as we know, as you and I have talked about a lot, there are a lot of filmmakers that either can't or won't put that kind of attention into something like that foot chase scene.
Yeah, it's brilliantly done. And Reeves, you know, for the first time in an action movie, you can see the effort that he's putting into it in that foot chase, in everything. In that, I love that the bit with when they're scoping out that house, and there's that fight on the lawn with the lawnmower and everything. And whenever Reeves is doing some action, you can see that he's putting his heart into it, and it's him doing it for the majority of the time. I don't know why he wasn't skydiving like Swayze. I think it was because Swayze told the producers that they could go and, you know, bugger off. He was going to do it even if the insurance didn't allow him to do it, he did it anyway. Something like that.
Well, and I love to, you know, like you said, Reeves is dedicated here. He's still, as an actor at this point in his career, he's still a little rough around the edges. You know, I always still joke, even though I love the movie, his delivery of, I am an FBI agent, you know, is not necessarily the greatest delivery of his career. Although, I caught my first tube today, sir, is a beautiful, pitch perfect, wonderful delivery.
What's amazing about it is really, you would picture Patrick Swayze, you know, being from Texas and the way he is as the FBI guy. And of course, Keanu Reeves from Bill and Ted and everything, you automatically assume would be like a surf dude. So it's almost like the roles are reversed in some way. But yeah, it still works.
Yeah, and I love it because it was a thing that I didn't really notice as much when I first saw the movie in 1991, because I was just barely at that point getting into John Woo and stuff like that. But how much their relationship reminds me so much of, you know, classic like Hong Kong good guy, bad guy, sides of the same coin type of relationships. I mean, you could easily have made this movie with Chow Yun-fat and Danny Lee, and yeah, it works the exact same way. And so I've grown in, Point Break has grown in my esteem over the years as I've gotten smarter and wiser about how those types of things work in movies.
Well, it can be slightly cheesy, but ultimately, you know, it's a film that has a bit of fun and a little bit of a wink. No, not a wink, but it does, you know, it knows when it needs to be fun. But also, both the actors, Reeves and Swayze, do a brilliant job. I mean, there's that one scene where he reveals on the videotape that they've kidnapped his girlfriend. And Swayze's brilliant in that. But yeah, it's great. It's a great film. It's a little bit cheesy, but ultimately it's one of the best action films from the 90s. And after all this time, I mean, I haven't really thought about this, so maybe I'm wrong, but probably Catherine Bigelow is the best ever female action director. I don't know if I can think of a better female action director.
There's some that are up and coming that I think are going to be able to ultimately dethrone her. But certainly, I think through the 90s, you know, the late 80s, 90s, and even into the 2010s, I think that's a pretty easy statement to defend. Because, A, she was one of the only ones that had the clout to be able to do it. And then every time she did it, she just friggin' knocked it out of the park. And so, yeah, I agree. You know, speaking of people floating in Keanu's circle that you have worked with, you know, for people probably don't need me to remind them, but you did work with her on Zero Dark Thirty. So, which, yeah, you know, we talked about was a pretty big deal for Mr. Adkins.
Yeah. A very different movie. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely. No, she's one of the greatest. Absolute pleasure. Very easygoing personality, actually. Really enjoys the job and just creates an environment for people to be, you know, as good as they can be. So, yeah, Point Break, man.
Well, and is starting off, you know, for his first real action movie, that's a good way to start. And it directly does lead to the other one, the next one that I think is the one that, for me, really solidified him. Because Jan DuBont saw him in Point Break and said, that is the guy I need in my exploding bus movie. And this is also one of the first times we really start to see one of the reasons that I think Keanu belongs on this list, because he immediately shaved off his long Keanu surfer hair and he hit the gym for several months to pack on muscle, which, you know, in 1994 was not really a thing. Yes, your Stallones and your Van Dammes and your Schwarzeneggers were, but your normal Hollywood actors weren't really doing that kind of thing on a regular basis to get in shape for a movie. In fact, I kind of argue he's sort of, his role in Speed and the work that he put into that movie is really what has led to this era now we have of actors like Chris Hemsworth, you know, putting in all this time to make sure that they look the part. Because I remember, and I could be wrong, and I'm sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but I really remember Keanu being the first time I really noticed that an actor who wasn't known for action was putting this much work in to be able to sell the action. And I have said it before, I'll say it again, Speed is probably one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time. I think he's incredible as an action lead in it. You know, he's doing, again, the types of stunts that you weren't seeing Hollywood people do. I know he's got a lot of stunt people in that movie, but there's also plenty of shots of him hanging under that bus in that movie. And I just think it's the one that really set the foundation for the action star he was going to become.
Yeah, I remember the girl I was dating at the time when Speed came out. She was obsessed with Reeves. I mean, she fancied him so much. And I was like, yeah, I can't blame you. He's a good looking dude. And I remember when he had that haircut, it was a big thing in the papers and everything. Oh, Keanu Reeves has shaved his head like this. And why has he done that? And apparently the studio were unhappy that he'd gone and given himself this Blade Runner buzz cut or whatever it was. But hey, didn't matter. Didn't matter to my girlfriend. I don't know what they're worried about. But yeah, Speed's a great film, great action film. It's one of those things that you could come up with. And it's like, I've come up with an idea for a movie. There's a bus, and once it goes 60 miles an hour or whatever, it can't go underneath it. Otherwise, it's going to explode. And that would be all. You've got to go into the executive's office and just use that pitch, and they would buy that movie because it just made perfect sense, right? It's a perfect idea for an action film. And yeah, I mean, I don't think he's still got a long way to go at this point in terms of becoming like an action icon. I guess he still feels to me at the time like a young actor that's having a crack at doing some action movies. But what a great action film. Yeah, really good action film.
Well, and one of the things we talked about one of the many criteria that we sort of took into consideration was, is the movie genre defining, and given the number of Speed knockoffs, including its own, I'm going to say this bluntly, its own atrocious sequel that we got, it clearly defined, you know, those movies for a while. But the other one we talked about was box office success and being a very, very powerful box office force. Speed made $350 million on a $30 million budget. This thing had over a 10 times multiplier. That's unheard of today. Like, you know, even Marvel movies get like a 2 or 3 time multiplier, not 10 times. Yeah. Like, just a massive success, huge success on every possible front. And really did start off kind of his move into bigger roles, most of which, unfortunately, for the next little while were not successes. But that's been kind of a story of his career throughout.
Yeah, and, you know, he's done a lot of different things in his career. He's tried different things, you know, Shakespeare, comedy, sci-fi, you know, some things not as successful as others, you know, cropping up in Dracula and things like that. Although I love that movie. But he's chose some good scripts and some bad scripts. But I feel like he likes to take a risk. He likes to try something different, as I do myself. You know, I can understand that. But ultimately, he's been in positions where he's had the chance to do Point Break or Turn It Down, and he's done it. Same with Speed, same with The Matrix. He's picked some great films to do, and that's very important. I mean, probably like not doing Speed 2 was a good idea, maybe, I guess.
He turned it down to do The Devil's Advocate and work with Pacino. Oh. So, I mean, I think that's a good choice, you know, especially given how bad Speed 2 was.
Because that is a brilliant film, Devil's Advocate, right?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's it's fantastic. And he got to be in a movie where Pacino is going full Pacino. I mean, Pacino's monologue at the end of that movie is the stuff of legend. It is so.
He's funny. An absentee landlord.
He's a sadist. You're over here hopping from leg to leg, and he's laughing his sick fucking head off. Oh my God, it's so good.
I'm a fan of man.
Yep. Yeah. It's, you know, okay, I mean, so
we've deduced that we both really enjoy that movie.
We have. What I was going to say, though, you mentioned is his, he takes risks. And I kind of think of all of our top five, maybe with the exception of one other person, he has the most wildly varied career. You know, he is, if you look at his filmography, it is all over the map as far as what he does and the movies he makes. And I think that's why a lot of people don't always necessarily think of him as one of the action greats, because they're also remembering Devil's Advocate or A Walk in the Clouds or, you know, the, I'm drawing a blank on the, or what?
Bill and Ted.
Or Bill and Ted, you know, or even some of the bad ones, you know, Hardball, where he teaches the inner city kids about baseball and stuff like that. There's so many different movies he's made that it's hard to think of him as this action icon. But most actors who have any interest in action whatsoever would be happy to do Point Break and Speed, and we'd still be talking about them as, you know, some of the greats with just those two movies, let alone what he does 5 years after Speed, which, you know, changed the game.
Let's go there. Let's talk about that. I mean, The Matrix, man. Kind of came out of the blue, didn't it? Did you feel that way? It was unexpected? Because nobody, it was the trailer was, what is The Matrix? And you're like, I don't know, what is The Matrix? Do you want to tell me? What's going on? What's all this about? Like, I'm thinking it's some sci-fi movie. I'm not expecting to see Kung Fu. And I don't know that Yuen Woo Ping's working on it and all that. What? So it's 99 that came out. So I guess they're shooting at 97. I'm still kind of like formulating my plan to try and become some sort of action guy. Yeah, I mean, I would have been watching all those Kung Fu movies, but I had no idea that Yuen Woo Ping was making this Hollywood movie. So when it came out, it was a shock to the system. Watching that in the theater the first time, I remember thinking, wow, Hollywood has finally figured it out. Hollywood has figured out how to do martial arts fight scenes properly. They're doing it the Hong Kong style. And they're doing it, you know, like the guy that did Once Upon a Time in China films. This is incredible. I always remember watching it in the cinema for the first time. And there's that bit where he's ass kicked by the agent at the end. And then they're telling him to run. And he looks at the stairs and the exit. And the camera focuses on the stairs, and then he looks back, and the camera racks focus to his face, and you just think, "Come on, Keanu, go for it!" I remember that bit watching it for the first time, so excited watching that movie. It's a perfect film. It really is.
Yeah. So I was super hyped for it because I was such a huge, even then, I was such a huge Keanu fan, and the idea of Keanu getting back into action. But there were a lot of question marks because I love Bound, the Wachowskis' first movie. I absolutely love Bound. But there was nothing about Bound that really, at the time, indicated they were going to be able to make something like The Matrix. And then on top of that, I had read in some magazine, might have been like Black Belt or something like that, that Yuen Woo Ping was doing the choreography. But of course, after, you know, we got John Woo coming over in 93 to make Hard Target, which was great. And I like all of his, most of his American movies. But, you know, there's no question that the Hong Kong directors coming over in the 90s, it had been a bit of a disappointment. And so what I was really expecting was they're bringing Yuen Woo Ping and the rest of the Yuen clan. I mean, it wasn't just him. It was pretty much his whole team and family doing it. And I just remember thinking, this is just going to be watered down Hong Kong. This is just going to be Yuen Woo-ping. I'm going to like it because I'm going to get just enough, but it's going to be watered down in him with the handcuffs on. And we're not going to get, because there's no way the actors are going to put themselves through what they're going to need to for us to actually get a Hong Kong style action film. And yeah, man, I've never been happier to be wrong. Like I saw that the first night in theaters and my jaw just hit the floor. You know, you mentioned the one scene where he gets it on his face and he even does the like come here. The other one that always stands out to me because it's such a Yuen Woo-ping move is when he starts after that fighting back to Smith and he goes to punch Smith and Smith blocks his hand and Keanu sticks his fingers out and hits Smith in the throat, which is yeah, just something that you never saw in American fight choreography at that point, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great action moments in that movie. And it's a perfect film for Keanu as well, because his personality kind of suited the guy that we meet at the beginning that's a little bit lost and awkward. And he could definitely pull that off. But so you hear stories about the amount of people that they originally approached for The Matrix or were possibly considering. I mean, who knows? You know, and it doesn't really matter. Ultimately, Keanu Reeves did it. I think a lot of actors didn't want to do it because they were told, well, you're going to have to do 6 months kung fu training. And, you know, people were like, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. And you kind of can't blame them, right? But this is why we're talking about Keanu now. He accepted that challenge and was like, cool, yeah, I'll do that. Let's make a kung fu film. And he put the work in. I spoke to Tiger Chen on My Art of Action recently, and he told me that he turned up with the neck brace because he'd had a motorbike accident and he couldn't even touch his toes. And you know, he's got a really strong work ethic and he worked as hard as he possibly could. And by the time it got to Matrix 2 and 3, he was so much better than where he was in Matrix 1 because he'd had all the time since then to keep training, and he did. So he described him to me as a guy that had limited interest in sports or keeping himself fit to a certain point, and really ramped it up for Matrix 1, and obviously he's improved and improved upon himself. But it's just an incredible action film. Whatever you think of the sequels as well, Matrix 1 is an incredible film. It's just amazing. And there's a shot in that film that's probably the greatest shot in action cinema, or one of them, and it's when she jumps out of the helicopter and he wraps the rope around his arm. It looks like he's gonna stop the helicopter from falling, and then she jumps out on the rope, but then you see her swinging towards the camera as the explosion is behind her. And you've got no idea that there's this piece of glass in front of the camera until she smashes into it and it cracks. That is incredible. That is amazing cinema.
I mean, it's the stuff the Wachowskis just do left and right. I mean, they are so, you know, say what you will about the sequels, say what you will about some of their other movies, say what you will about Sense8. I think they hit far more than they miss. But even in their stuff that misses, there is so much inventive filmmaking and creative ideas on display that it just puts so many other filmmakers to shame, frankly. You know, you mentioned the sequels. I mean, we're talking action stars. So say what you will narratively about the sequels, but certainly at least Matrix Reloaded, I think the Chateau fight might be one of the best martial arts fights ever in a Western film. I mean, that is so much more Hong Kong than almost anything that's ever been done in Western filmmaking.
Oh yeah, that's Yuen Woo-ping peak ability there. The choreography is amazing. The set, you know, the set is brilliant. All the destruction, when you've got those elements of destruction happening, it makes it that much more visceral and everything. And yeah, just the choreography is sublime. I mean, they've got the time to film it, you know. I think they were talking about working on that for 3 or 4 weeks. And you've got the best stunt performers in the world. And you've got David Leitch in there and obviously Chad Stahelski's Keanu's double. And Tiger's in there and all these other guys. Yeah, the Burly Brawl. I mean, it goes CGI at one point, which is a real shame because I think that really spoils it. We weren't then and we still aren't now ready for a fully realized CG person. So I think they were really stretching too far. And up to that point where he turns into a complete CGI guy, that fight's brilliant. I love it. A criticism of The Matrix 2, actually. The same year, Bad Boys came out, Bad Boys 2. And there's a brilliant car chase in that. And I had no idea that the cars in Bad Boys were CGI, because in The Matrix, you knew, because the truck is CG as it passes through the camera. But that gives the gag away. You like, even if you thought the truck was real, as soon as the camera goes through the middle of it, you're giving the game away, right? You're like, oh, it's a CGI truck. But in Bad Boys 2, they didn't make that mistake. And it was only when I watched the making of, it was like, oh, wow, they've done CGI cars there. I had no idea. So I felt like they, you know, sometimes when you can do too much, it's better to not be able to do everything. It's like the newer Star Wars movies. It's better. The originals are better because they're down, they're dirty, they're a bit more gritty. But once Lucas could do whatever he wanted, I felt like, you know, he could do too much and it spoilt it somewhat.
Well, and that is part of the problem with that, because, you know, they built the freeway and so much of that entire scene is practical. But much like the Super Burly Brawl, they were so, I think, enamored by what they could do with the CG at that point. That yeah. they wanted to show off, much like Lucas did, very similar. They wanted to show off the CG.
Yeah.
And I think it does. I'm with you.
That was part of what made the first film so successful as well. Is one of the drawing points, that I guess, was that there's this new technique of the camera thing, whatever it was, spinning around. And it's like, oh, you want something like that in the Matrix film. So what's the next thing we can do? But I think it wasn't ready for that. I don't think we're ready for that still now, to be honest.
No, and the thing is, again, the bullet time effect, that was a more or less practical effect. Like, they built, if you watch any of the behind-the-scenes features on the first Matrix, you know, they built this camera rig that, yeah, there is CG involved, but they couldn't, the way you would do that now, where you would just load it into Avid, and you would actually have Avid create the spin. They had to create a rig, essentially a room with multiple cameras that could spin to get that effect. So the CG is there to put in the backgrounds and stuff, but the actual camera shots and everything are all still practical. And I think that's why it still has that weight that it doesn't have by the time we get to Reloaded, because you and I have always talked about that's one of the problems with CGI fight scenes, right? They don't have weight. Punches don't feel like they hit. There's not that impact. You can do all the CGI in the world and it still isn't going to necessarily look like a punch that hurts as much as a guy with some impact powder on his hands or feet that pops, you know, as he throws a punch. That's kind of one of the biggest problems I think you have with it. But, you know, we got so much bullet time after that movie. You want to talk about genre defining? I mean, The Matrix changed cinema. There's just no question about it. Cinema was different after The Matrix came out.
Absolutely. And what was expected of the actors in terms of what they could do physically, you know, that was like eye-opening. And certainly people took notice. You know, I mean, that probably paved the way for, you know, seeing Matt Damon taking on Bourne and, you know, other actors putting the work in physically to not rely on stunt doubles as much. But yeah, I don't mind the Matrix 2 that much. The problem with Matrix 3, and it was always going to be a problem, is that you can't be in the Matrix as much because ultimately the story needs to end out of the Matrix, right? And being in the Matrix was always the most fun part of it. But let's not forget that we've got Matrix 4 coming out. And what the hell is all that going to be about?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you. I was just pulling it up because I was really curious more than anything. You know, I've seen all the casting and stuff, but I was really curious what the stunt team, you know, what action team they were going to be working with. And it's basically the same team that they worked with on Sense8, which has some, in my opinion, some of the best action I've ever seen on a TV show. It's not Warrior level good, but it is some of the best action I've ever seen on a TV show. So we're getting some. What was that?
What's it called?
Sense8. It was on Netflix.
Sense8.
Yep. So I'm excited. I think that there is a real chance that here's what I like to think. Well, first of all, Jean Aden from Real Deal Stunts is Keanu's stunt double. So that alone makes me super happy. But also just, I like to think that the Wachowskis wouldn't have tried to do a new Matrix if, again, they didn't have something that they were like, yeah, we're going to do it again. Like, we got it. We're going to do it again. We're just going to blow everybody's fucking mind again. You know, because they resisted doing a new Matrix for so long that I am not going to lie. I'm really, really excited. I might be setting myself up for massive disappointment, but I am really fucking excited for it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I've got no idea whether it's going to, you know, who knows. But the main point for this chat is that Keanu Reeves, he doesn't slow down when it comes to action films. He kind of came to it. Well, he was pretty young when he did Point Break, but yeah, he's not slowing down. Obviously, we're going to get to talk about John Wick next, but he's about to start John Wick 4. He's in training for it now.
Yeah.
And there's another Matrix in the pipeline. They said they were going to do John Wick 4 and 5. So, I mean, this is why he's one of the top action stars ever, because the man is showing no signs of slowing down. And one thing we shouldn't forget to talk about, because I almost did, is he directed.
I was just about to bring that up. I was like, well, hold on, let's not get to John Wick yet. So
you're right. Yeah. Directed Man of Tai Chi, which is a full-on martial arts film. I mean, this guy just loves action, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what blows me away is his directorial debut. You know, so many actors, they direct things as soon as they can. Every actor, they always say, you know, wants to be a director. I don't know if that's true or not. You're the only actor that I really know that well, but you know, but he waits for he waits for years, and then when he decides to direct one, he basically says, yeah, I'm gonna make, first of all, I am really good friends. I became really good friends with Tiger on the set of The Matrix. And I want to make a movie that is going to show him off, is going to be a full-blown, balls-out martial arts movie. Luckily, I've also made good enough friends with Yuen-Woo Ping that he's going to come and help me with, you know, choreography and stuff like that. And It blows my mind that that is the movie that he decided to direct, because it is
It's a bloody Chinese kung fu film.
It's just a stone cold like kung fu film. Like, and I don't mean just in a negative way, but it's
He didn't just direct it. He's in it doing kung fu.
He's got one of my favorite lines. I quote it all the time. You owe me a life. It's so, yeah. That one. And also when he's watching the monitors and he sees Tiger and he just points at the monitor and goes, innocent. Like, he's so... Like, this what's so funny is Keanu is so likable and so nice in real life, but the handful of times he's played villains, like in Sam Raimi's The Gift or in Man of Tai Chi, he is so evil and, like, malicious and cruel, and it's brilliant. Like, I love it. I am a big fan of Manitai Chi. I know you are too. Yeah. I think anybody listening to this show probably is a big fan of that movie. And that was actually one of the things that also really factored into me wanting to say he needed to be on this list, is because he directed Man of Tai Chi.
Yeah, I mean, that sums it up, doesn't it? When he had the chance to direct, it was an action film slash martial arts film that he directed. I was talking to Tiger Chen about it. He almost made it seem like he twisted his arm into doing it. But what he said was that he was developing the script with Tiger, and he got so into it that he just decided, you know what, I should direct this. And I think he did a great job. And it's, you know, it's a really good martial arts film. And Tiger's great in it. I love the music in it and things like that. It's a little bit different. And it was a cool story for a martial arts film. I was like, oh, I wish I'd thought of that. That's cool.
Well, and he also casts people like, again, this is a man who just clearly loves this, but it's not just him and Tiger. Like, it's got Karen Mok and Simon Yam and friggin' Sam Lee and obviously Ico
That's the weird bit.
That is the weird bit. And
Why do they not have a fight? I don't understand. What's going on here?
And, you know, and I think even maybe arguably the best fight is with Silvio, you know? Tiger and Silvio is a...
That's a short fight, though, isn't it?
It's fairly short, but it's good, you know? And it's... I just love that it's Silvio. Like, I just get so excited when I see... Again, this is a movie that has no business having the legit action cred that it does. Except for the fact that Keanu... He's clearly one of us, right? Like, he's...
I'll tell you what was funny, Mike. Sorry to cut you off. It's just because... When they were filming that movie in China, the Beijing Film Studios, I was actually staying in the hotel that they were all staying in at, and I got out the lift as Keanu got in, and I was a little bit tired. I didn't say anything because it sort of took me by surprise. But yeah, they were all there filming that while I was staying there doing another classic, legendary Tomb of the Dragon. But anyway, I thought it was interesting that I was in the same hotel at the same time.
You know, the only thing that Legendary needed was the giant iguana needed to say, "You owe me a life." And then that movie would have been perfect. But...
Right. It would have been amazing. In Keanu's voice as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Go ahead. No, that's a great story. Have you ever actually met Keanu? Because he's you know, he's one of the two people on this top five that, unless I'm missing something, you have not worked with. Have you ever actually met him?
Well, no. Aside from that, well, I didn't meet him really. So, no, but I've heard nothing but good things about him. And he just seems like such a nice chap. Couldn't happen to a better guy. But he's got the work ethic. That's what it takes to be an action star. That's the common denominator with all the guys we'll talk about. They've got a huge work ethic, and they just want to put the work in order to entertain the audience. You know, it's not lost on them. It's a privilege to be in this position to be able to make these films. And the people that we're going to talk about, that is not lost on them. You know, they're going to put everything they have into it to do the best that they can possibly do. Because, yeah, they know they're lucky to be there. And it's that work ethic that gets them there in the first place anyway.
Yeah, and you can even see it in Keanu. You know, it always hurts me a little bit to watch him now because you can just see, you know, I know he had that neck injury from the motorcycle accident. I know he's re-aggravated it a few times. He's got a bad back. And you can kind of see it works great in what we're going to transition to because he's not supposed to be this man in peak shape. But there's a lot of times where he moves and it just looks like it hurts him. But he still puts the work in. He still does it. But it also does show the... You know, as you and I have talked both on mic and off, those injuries, be they serious or minor, they add up over time, and they do take an impact on you.
Yeah, they do. But to be honest, I don't so much notice that when I watch him move. I mean, I know, like, we can talk about other action guys that have got more skill in terms of being a martial artist or athleticism than him, maybe. But as I just discussed, it's the most important thing for me, because I know what it's like making these films, is it's just, because some actors, they don't like doing the action. I kind of don't enjoy it myself because it's so hard. But there's some actors out there that they just don't want to put themselves in that position. And I don't blame them, because it is very painful, and you will get messed up, and you will carry those injuries around for life, and you will have trouble turning your head when you're older. And, you know, you're going to wear your bones out quicker than most people probably will. But you've got to love it, man. You've got to love it to, and you can tell that Keanu does. He just, everything you hear about him, he goes that extra mile to just give his all for these action films, and he's not slowing down.
No. And in fact, he seems to constantly want to challenge himself to top what he did before. Because that's kind of, I think, a good segue, because I think there's no question that he takes John Wick as a personal challenge. Well, not just him, but him and Chad and 8711, you know, they take it as a challenge to top every time what they've done beforehand, which, you know, there's plenty of people in the John Wick movies who are not young, and they're all still just given everything they can, from Keanu to, you know, Chad to Mark Dacascos. And it's if there's anything that sealed the deal on whether Keanu is one of the greatest of all time, it's John Wick, right?
Yeah, that seals the deal, doesn't it? Without John Wick, you might have said, oh, well, yeah, last two Matrix films weren't as good. We'll leave it. But I like the Matrix films, by the way. But yes, John Wick. So Chad Stahelski is a huge part of why we're talking about Keanu Reeves being his stunt double in all the Matrix films, keeping that close connection with him, and him and Dave getting to direct John Wick 1 and really wanting to prove something as directors and being guys that, you know, they were, part of their business model was taking actors and training them to look like competent martial artists for various different movies. And 8711 was created as a space for their stunt team to work, but also for actors to come in and be trained. And that was a whole part of their business model, you know. So when this thing came up with Keanu Reeves, they're the perfect directors to take it on. And luckily for them, but also luckily for Keanu, like, they're getting someone like Keanu that's got that work ethic and is going to give everything he's got to try and put onto screen what they want to put on screen, which is, you know, a kind of static camera, everything playing out in wides, you know, none of this shaky cam business. You're seeing just great choreography being put together in pretty, like, you know, easy to follow camera setups. So they're lucky that they've got Keanu, but Keanu's lucky that he's got guys like that to push him. And obviously Chad's gone on to do the other John Wick films. And he's always raising the bar with action, whether it's the dogs, whether it's, you know, the gunfights. The John Wick 3 is my favorite so far because there's more of a martial arts element in there. I hope they can continue to go that way with John Wick 4. But yeah, the John Wick movies, I mean, for me, there's no action franchise better at the moment for action. I'm really looking forward to the next one. I love them. They're great. And we talk about films that change cinema. Well, like John Woo changed the way people use guns with his movies, Chad has done the same. Chad and Dave did the same with the gun jitsu or gun fu, whatever we're calling it. everyone copied that after that. You had to copy it.
Can I just tell you, I get so mad because I see this occasionally disparagingly on Twitter, people saying, oh, people who like John Wick have just never seen a John Woo movie. And nothing makes me more angry because the...
They're
unbelievably different. You know, yeah. Like Woo is all about this sort of ballet and Chad and Dave and what they're doing with Three Gun and incorporating that into this stuff is much more like, it's like the difference between watching a ballet and a boxing match. They're both beautiful in their own way, and I love them both, but they're not the same thing, and I think it's incredibly reductive.
The style is completely different because I don't believe that there's any slow motion in a John Wick action sequence. There isn't any, right?
There certainly isn't any for, like, I don't know if they're maybe slowing down for a frame or two, but they're really, there's definitely not that John Woo, you know, flowing.
The only piece of slow motion I remember in the first John Wick is as he walks towards camera when he's just about to kill the guy he's been trying to kill the whole movie. And it's a slow-mo shot and it ramps to normal speed and bang, he shoots him. There's no slow-mo. I mean, there might be, but the point is, John Woo was all about slow motion. And, you know, we can talk about other directors that kind of took that style, you know, Michael Bay and, you know, many directors copied that, but they're not copying. They are copying John Woo in certain ways, but not as much as what you would expect if you're making that comment.
Yeah, no, it's, I just find it I've seen it a couple times and I just find it to be a grossly reductive and redundant comment that just, once again, is part of the reasons that I do this show. It just shows the lack of respect that the people that make these things, and especially the people that make them good, the people like you or, you know, even somebody like Dolph but certainly, you know, Chad and Dave and 8711 that try and make these things good and entertaining and exciting. It's just, it makes me so angry because,
a bit of an ignorant thing to say, really, but yeah, never mind.
Well, I mean,
try harder. Try harder. That's all I can say.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I'm with you. I love that the third one, because, you know, we knew Keanu had kept up, or at least I did as a fan of his, and he's kept up with his martial arts and stuff. But certainly the initial focus on the first two movies was guns, although he does have that pretty kick-ass fight with Common that isn't really martial arts. It's more just like a brawl, but I do love that fight because they're just trying to beat the hell out of one another.
But what's brilliant about the Wick films and what Stahelski brings to it that's unique is that it's real martial arts. It's real techniques put into these situations. Like I know that one of the main reasons they use judo and jiu-jitsu is because when Keanu came involved, Chad and Dave thought, well, you know, he hasn't been kicking for a while. He's lost his flexibility. Let's get stuck in with the judo style. Let's make that John Wick style. But it was something that we'd not seen before necessarily in a movie. It was kind of like, you know, Steven Seagal coming along with Aikido. And there's a lot of Aikido that John Wick does. But the judo style was something we hadn't seen that much of. And mixing the gunplay within the jiu-jitsu and the judo is what made it so unique and different. And, you know, we've seen so many action films. We've pretty much seen it all. It's all been done before. But when you can see something changed and wrapped up in a different presentation, and it becomes something very new, and it's not easy to do that. And that's what they did. And that's what made it so exceptional. And so Keanu's got a lot to thank Chad and Dave for, and all the 8711 guys, JJ Perry included, because they created a new style of action.
Yeah. And then also, again, it's that love, because especially by the time we get to three, we get, you know, We get in two, we get people like Heidi Moneymaker actually showing up in the movie, not just as a stunt person. But then three, we get Yayan and Cecef from the Raid movies. And then, of course, Mark Dacascos, which, you know, if people, I'm just going to plug really quick, if people haven't seen Your Art of Action with Mark Dacascos, that might actually still be my favorite one, just because what a friggin' sweetheart of a human being Mark is. But, you know, Mark Dacascos, an actor that I have championed for years, to finally see him get such a high profile role and such a great character for him to tear into. And then he and Keanu, man, they go at it. Like, those fights, his fight with Yayan and Cecef is legit. It's got one of my favorite things in all of John Wick, when Keanu gets up and he, like, puts his hands out and he doesn't even say anything. He was just like, hold on, I gotta collect myself. And they respect him so much that they actually give him a chance to. Man, that is chef's kiss. That is...
Think about how many fight scenes there are in John Wick 3. There's more than there is in 2 and 1.
Oh, yeah. Probably more than there is in 2 and 1 combined.
It's easier to do the gun stuff because you're not as up close and personal, you know, smashing bone and skin against bone and skin. But John Wick 3, the action is ramped up to an even higher level. And, you know, how old was Keanu Reeves when he made that? The guy's... I mean, how much action is going to be in John Wick 4? God knows. And you know, it's unbelievable. That's why he's one of our greatest action stars.
Yeah, he's 56 years old, and I kind of feel like he's just getting started. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, once he's done with this new Matrix and the next two John Wicks, I don't know how much he'll have in him, because he'll be almost 60 at that point. But, you know, as mentioned on our last episode, Donnie Yen is 60 and still seems to be going strong. So, I don't know, man, maybe hopefully you'll still be doing this stuff at 62. Maybe doing all this stuff does keep you young in spite of the injuries. It keeps you hearty.
I'll be doing it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I hope you're still doing this stuff at 60.
I'll be doing it.
that's what I want to hear, my friend. That is what I want to hear. He's one of the greats. Anything that you want to add about why I think we've presented a convincing case, but anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, the guy has gone above and beyond for the action genre, but also not to forget that he's just one of these actors that's so watchable. You know, it's effortless for him. And I don't know, there's some people that the camera loves them and they're magnetic in some way. And, you know, Keanu, you could argue he was never the best actor, but he's always had that movie star quality, which of course is so important. So it's not just the fact that he puts the work in with the action, but, you know, he's obviously a guy that the camera loves, good looking dude, and he's just a movie star on top of all the rest of it. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's long may it continue. I want to see more action from the man himself in the years to come.
Yeah. And I also love that, unlike some actors, he just takes himself not even the slightest bit seriously. I don't know if you saw that romantic comedy that he guest starred in, Always Be My Maybe, where he's playing himself.
The one when they go for dinner.
Yeah.
He's got the headphones in and he's laughing and crying or something.
He
was brilliant in that.
He's absolutely brilliant in it. He's totally taking the piss out of himself. Like, he's got no ego. He's dedicated and that, but he's got no ego whatsoever. And that, to me, always...
You love Shakespeare too.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, he's super fascinating. You know, if you see interviews with him and stuff, he's absolutely super fascinating. You know, it would be a dream for you to get to talk to him on Art of Action, but I know he's also incredibly private and really hesitant to do interviews. So
I'll settle for getting killed by John Wick.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's maybe you are, because this is announced, you are doing an 8711 movie. You're doing JJ's movie. There's your end. Just be like, send it up the line. Just let me get killed. I'll be one of the random mooks who runs in off the side of the screen. I just want to get killed by John Wick.
Exactly. Yeah. I should be so lucky. Maybe John Wick 5, eh?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, man. Well, we'll keep pulling for you. I have no clout, but I'll throw it out there in the world. I'll just put the positive vibes out there in the world. So, yeah. All right. Well, I think we've been going for about an hour. We said we didn't want this one to go as long as the last one. So I think it's probably a good time to wrap up, unless you have anything else you want to add.
Reeves is the man. So are all the men on this list. Look forward to chatting about the next one, whoever that might be.
Yep. We'll be back. We'll be back soon with the next one on the list. Again, reminder, these are
that not... We're talking about Schwarzenegger. We'll be back.
And we'll be back. We could do that. We haven't even really decided, so we'll leave it a surprise. But reminder that the order that we are talking about these actors is in no way, shape, or form a ranking. We will do that at the very end of this show, so don't read too much into it. Scott and I are making this shit up as we go along.
Just killing time. I'm stuck in a hotel room in Atlanta and need something to do.
And I am happy to provide you that outlet, my friend. So folks, we will be back soon. And Scott, thank you as always. It is always a pleasure, my friend.
You too, Mike. Thanks, mate. Speak to you soon.